she just walked in and she said she could not care for her children anymore. She dropped off three of her children from ages 4 to 10 and said she just couldn't take it anymore. Not wanting to, at that moment, what do you do? What do you say when a mother of three has dropped off their kids in your office and tells you she can't take care of them anymore? There's nothing else she can do. So, of course, we went through the proper procedures, social workers, police. They all came in to figure out what was going on. She kept saying the same thing over and over. I can't do it anymore. I can't. When we look at the story of Demas, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul here, and I'll read the text for you right quick. Paul here gives us the same impression of Demas. Let me read the text for you. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. And we're not going to focus on the last two. Our focus for today is Demas. And the title of it, the thought is, what can we learn from Demas? Have to kind of play a detective here, because Demas is only mentioned in three portions of Scripture. You have him in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, and you have him in Philemon, verse 24, at the very end. He's kind of a sketchy character here. But what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to place him in Scripture, so there has to be something we can learn about Demas. Who's all done a study on Demas before? Awesome. See, he's not as popular as we thought, but he's in Scripture, so we have to explore him, right? In this particular sketch that we have of Demas, again, there's three pieces we have to put together here. In Colossians and Philemon, what we have, we see him. As a matter of fact, let's do it old fashioned. Turn to the book of Colossians for me, chapter 4, verse 14. Let's turn there. I want you to see what Paul says here. In Colossians, Paul says, Luke, the beloved physician, sends you greetings, and also Demas. So he's mentioned here with Luke. He says that they're sending him greetings. Luke sends greetings, and Demas as well. Okay, you go over to Philemon. Let's turn to the book of Philemon here. Verse 24. I got to find Philemon myself. These little pages here. There we go. Do it the old-fashioned way. Verse 24 says, I'll start at verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke again. And now he calls them my fellow workers. Demas was with Paul. He was a fellow worker with Paul. You see these nice things said about him. But what happens is you see this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, there's this digression. Interestingly, Colossians and Philemon are prison epistles. We learned that from Dr. Niemela on Monday, that they are prison. And forgive me if I keep looking around, because I don't have my glasses on, so some of y'all are kind of blurry. So we learned that these are prison epistles. The text doesn't tell us that Demas is a prisoner, but he is where Paul is. So is Luke and the others as well. That gives me some insight into Demas. Not that Demas had a problem with being with Paul per se, These letters, Colossians and Philemon, written around 61, 62 A.D. Then you have 2 Timothy written around 67 A.D. So what happens in 5 years? What happens in that five-year time period from the prison epistles, then this last one that Paul writes, where how he characterizes, or he says what Demas has done? 5 years doesn't seem like a long time, but a lot can change in 5 years. My son is 14. 5 years ago, he was 9. And now he's 3 inches taller than me. So a lot can happen in 5 years. A diagnosis can change in 5 years. Your child can become sick in 5 years. Your church can change in 5 years. You can grow members in 5 years, or you can lose members in 5 years. What can we learn from Demas? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, the text tells us why Demas left. And what's interesting is Paul knows that. It would be different if Paul would have written, "Demas just left me." It's not what he said. He said, "Having loved this present world, age," you could say, "Demas has forsaken me." Paul is in dire straits here. Matter of fact, the verses before, verse 9 says, he's telling Timothy, "Hurry up. Come quickly. For Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me." How many pastors, preachers we have in here, pastor churches? Okay. First thing I want you to see that this text teaches us is, as our affections for Christ can be misdirected. Our affections for him, having loved this present world. Idea behind that age, that time period. Demas was focusing on temporal, what was before him, what was there, rather than the eternal. At that moment. And if you're a pastor, a preacher, and you're discipling people, that can be frustrating for you at times. It's one of the things I've had to grow accustomed to in learning how to pastor people and shepherd people. I'm not gonna put an indictment on Demas and say that Demas wasn't saved. I don't think that. I do believe Demas was a believer. I don't think Paul would have put up with him much long, too long if he hadn't been. You know, Paul got rid of, he didn't want Mark, so he wasn't going to really fool around with too many people. Oh, awesome. Whoop, whoop. Okay. Hold on, let's see here.
Do we have an amen?
Yeah, this is awesome. Fancy, fancy. I knew it was touchscreen. Every time I touched it, it didn't do nothing. It just didn't do anything.
I guess you're plugged in.
I got a thumb drive in there, so you got to switch it over. Okay, how do you do that?
No, I think...
You need to ask for switch instead of cancel.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There we go.
That's you right there.
Switch. You're going to get to see all my Dr. John Niemöller notes. Yeah.
There you are.
Yes! We cooking with fish.
We're
cooking with fish grease now.
I had one of these, but...
Yes!
Hit play.
Hit play. There we go. Play.
Boom!
See,
right.
I told you I had a PowerPoint.
If you hit this thing up here, when you hit it, you can circle things.
Oh. Okay.
He gets another 5 minutes goodbye.
Well, you know, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I stay in my lane. I just preach. That is it. So when you start pushing stuff and circling, the PowerPoint said click, on click. So I'm going to hit on click, and hopefully this thing will move. That's what. Thank you, though, Bob. I appreciate that answer. So, yes. So what we learn is that Demas, our affections can, where was I? I'm sorry. I got kind of distracted. Our affections can get misdirected. Mm-hmm. When we're, especially when we're not looking at what God has for us, or we're not looking at what the life that is to come. We're not really even thinking about that. But again, I don't want to put this heavy indictment on Demas. Again, because I do believe Demas was a believer. The text, I don't want to press the text and say that he was not. I did do some research, and one thing I read said that they did not think that he was a believer. And I don't particularly, I don't believe that. So title here, I'll just kind of skip. Here is our affections can become misdirected because, again, the temporal and the eternal. Okay? That can happen to any of us.
Amen.
None of us are immune to our affections happening. And I'm going to let my homiletical mind, imagination wander here. Demas has seen Paul suffer. Demas has watched Paul. This wasn't his first merry-go-round. This wasn't his first time. He's in prison, and Roman prison, wherever prison he was not fun. Traveling with Paul more than likely was very arduous, taking boats, long miles. It's not like today. You catch Southwestern Airlines, you mad because you can't go through the clear thing, which I found out this week I had access to, didn't even know that. It's not like that. And it wasn't like that then. Demas is watching him go through this. Your flock, your congregation watches you go through things. Your family, as pastors and preachers, watch you go through things. My family has watched me go through things. That impacts them. Paul was something to behold when you think about him. 13 letters, New Testament. You read his pedigree, just awesome. But what's one of the things that he said? All that I've done, everything that I've accomplished, I count it as done, a loss. He also goes on to say, for me to live is Christ. So, Demas, when you put his life up against, when Demas, and you compare, you contrast that, Demas had one of the best, all of us, and I think all of us in here would probably say, man, if I could just have Paul as my mentor. If Paul could sit next to me in seminary. if I just had him. Man, I'd be so on fire for the Lord. And I'm telling you that's a lie. No, you wouldn't. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I'm going to be transparent with you. I probably would have thought like Demas. I don't really like leaving where I am. You know, I don't like conflict too much. I can deal with it, but I don't like it too much. I think about what I'm doing, pastoring. I like to be liked too. I like sitting down across from a meal and fellowship with somebody also. I think somebody felt sorry for me a few minutes earlier, an hour ago. I had gotten my pizza and I was sitting by myself. And this gentleman came over and just struck up a conversation with me. I wonder what that was like for Paul. You had to be for real if you were going to travel with him. You had to be the real deal, authentic. Your affections had better been on the eternal. If not, like Demas, your affections can get misdirected. Second thing this text teaches us is ministry involvement alone will not sustain you. We do a lot of great work. Vacation Bible School, Meals on Wheels, whatever you do. We put a heart into it. And let's just be honest. A lot of times we want that. Appreciate you. Thank you. Man, you did a good job. I remember growing up, we'd go to Vacation Bible School and they give us these little African-American church. You know, you get these little statues, these little things. You know, great participant. Man, I didn't do nothing but eat cookies and little sandwiches. That's all I did. You know, them little, you know those little cookies, those little hard, nasty cookies they sell? Yeah, you know. And then the little square-cut sandwiches, the cheese is melted on them, and, you know, bologna. Not even ham, man, bologna. Like, so, yeah, ministry involvement alone will not sustain you. There has to be something beyond that that keeps you there. All it takes is one good conflict. One good somebody really coming at you over some asinine. You know, I ain't gonna get into what I think is asinine. Y'all won't might not have me back next year. Just asinine. All it takes is one good conflict. You forget about how many kids coming to Vacation Bible School next week. You forget about everything you've done. You it's not going to sustain you. What has to sustain you is like Paul. What sustained him? He said, I press towards the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Paul suffered. We have been, as great as this conference is, as great as everyone I've met is, we have been called to a life that may embark and may have us have to deal with suffering. But isn't it great to know because you have eternal life, man, you get to stand before God. And then when this thing is wrapping up, literally, the reward, the crowns that we get, you can't even fathom that. You don't even know where to go get a crown like that, do you? Yeah. I mean, just I can put in my mind what it is going to be like on that day. Everything I complained about, like, so what? Just to be in the joy of his presence. So don't think ministry work alone is going to keep you on this side. It's good. Accolades are great. Hallelujah for them, but that's not going to keep you. That is not going to keep you at all. It didn't keep Demas. Again, best person in the world. Demas couldn't have known that we'd be talking about Paul today and walk away from him. We relish in Paul's works. We adore Paul's works. And Demas said, see ya. Whatever came up, something happened in that time period. Could have even been going on all the time. You never know what's going on in a person's heart. You don't know. But whatever happened, whatever was going on, at that moment, demon says, you know, Paul, I like you. And as somebody pointed out to me today, he may not have even shown up. Text doesn't tell us that. But Paul knew he had deserted him. He knew that much. This is what some of us look like sometimes. Missing. Did it work? Okay, my last one didn't come up. Oh, there you go. There you go. Those you disciple may leave you in your time of need. We spend a lot of time with people. Relationships. Let's develop them. Let's make sure our relationships, you know, Dixon and I do that a lot. We're always going to lunch with somebody. Matter of fact, somebody's been texting me about something since I've been standing here, back in Colorado. Relationships, that's what we build, that's what we're taught in seminary, right? Get relationships, strategic planning class. Make sure you build relationships. And you invest time, effort, energy, money, sleepless nights, preparing for one or two people, and half of them show up. And then what they do, when it gets heated, when ministry gets messy, when life doesn't go their way, they go missing. I could only imagine how hurt Paul must have been. For the person that he had invested in like that to just not show up, walk away, and not only walk away, turn his affections away from the very thing Paul had been teaching him. It's no different from my kids. Now, I told you I have four sons, right? I invest time into them. Each of them have their own little way. But I invest the most time into my oldest one. I pour into him. And sometimes he does something, I'm thinking, where did you get that from? That is not... No, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. He didn't get it from me. No, but seriously, that was my old life. That's for another GES conference another time. But you invest into these people's lives. You counsel them. You save their marriages. You do all of that for them. And they walk away from you as if nothing ever happened. There's much, much more you could learn about, you could learn from Demas. I actually had a list of like 9 to 10 things. But, you know, given the time constraints, I didn't think I'd have time to go through all. There's so much you could learn by piecing these three pieces together as a portrait of Demas. Somebody we probably just, in a cavalier manner, just read right over. And it had to really hurt Paul because this wasn't the only person that left him. There's two others in the text. It's two others, Cretans and Titus. And Titus got Paul wrote him it's a letter about him. Now the text doesn't say they forsook him. The text doesn't say they just ran off him, but it does say that they weren't, it does indicate they weren't with him. But then there are some others. Hymenaeus, remember him? Left him. Doesn't that sound a lot like our Savior? What happened the night he was betrayed? Everybody left him. He told them. What was Peter's response? No, Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. I'm going to be with you, homie. I'm with you. And the Lord told him, Peter, you're going to lie. No, that ain't going to happen. Don't think that you are immune from that. Pastors and preachers, we're still disciples. We're just under shepherds. That's all we are. We're just stewards by God's grace. That's who put you in the service, not your ingenuity. And I love DTS, but DTS didn't put me in the service. It prepared me for it. I loved the time I had, but the Lord put me in the service. That's who put you in the service. Not your education. Not your ingenuity. I hope I'm stepping on too many toes. I got some major hitters in here, so. I'm just saying. But in reality, it's the truth. That's who put you in the service. That's who you serve. That's who you work for. It's him. And all these other things come along with it. A great name, nice titles, nice car, whatever comes along with it. That is all circumstantial. It is fleeting. What I have learned from Demas is the fact that I'm vulnerable just like he was. I'm vulnerable just like Demas. That's what I've learned from him. I didn't look at this text. I almost did. But I had to retrain my thinking to say, you know what? I could be just like Demas. Something in my life could happen. Something could occur and I could end. I could say, you know, I've had enough. I've suffered enough, Lord. Isn't that the audacity of us to say that to him? I've suffered enough, Lord. And you hadn't hung on anybody's cross, taken anybody's nails, hadn't been beaten, hadn't been whipped, none of that. But we will look at our circumstances and say, not now. My temporal circumstance really has to supersede my eternal at this moment. Whatever I'm going through is more major than my eternal existence. And Paul has such a mindset. He says to set your affections on things that are above. Colossians 3:13, if I'm not mistaken. Where my challenge to you today, I'm a pastor. I preach, okay? I told y'all that. I can't leave you all academic. Where are your affections? Where in your life is your vulnerability? As good with Greek as you are, where is your vulnerability? Where are you and Demas alike? See, don't look at Demas and say, man, he shouldn't have. I think if you look at Demas that way, you're missing the issue. We're all vulnerable at some point. Because life is going to happen to each and every one of us. But what I'm thankful for is that despite what happens here, because of my belief in Jesus Christ, my hope over here outweighs what's going to happen here. That's the joy you have to have. That is the hope, the everlasting life that we have been given, this free gift. I tell Dixon John all the time, I said, man, grace is so scandalous. It's just, it's ridiculous how scandalous it is. I get upset at how scandalous it is. Can I just be honest with y'all? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to be honest. I've been given the gift of eternal life, and I'm working. We getting it done. And if I get to heaven and see Demas, I'm going to be mad. Demas, what were you doing? Him and some others. I mean, come on, let's be honest with yourself. If you sit next to somebody you know don't like you, you don't like them, you get to heaven and you see them, you're going to be mad. God, how did you let her? Like, that? Nah, you need to go back and check that list, Lord. You remember that Sunday she didn't cook that stuff, you know, right? You remember? Be honest with yourself. Let's just be, don't, you know, hey, Dix know me. I put my pants on just like you. You put your pants on just like me. We all have issues, right? Let's just be real about it. Tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Where are you vulnerable? Where are you vulnerable? Because where you're vulnerable, believe me, you got an adversary. You got an adversary. He pays attention to you. I said this in our men's group a couple weeks ago. You know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But it ain't that he always wrong. It ain't that he don't have nothing on you sometime. It ain't that. Don't think you. It's not that. But you got somebody. Give me an example. My son got suspended from school a couple weeks ago. I was hot. I had to pray, Lord, help me. I do believe in corporal punishment, by the way. But I went to this, I got some information about it. I talked to the principal. Some of the comments that were said, I had to investigate them. He was accused of some things. And I believe he was guilty. Hands down, I know my son. But I also believe there are some things that he was accused of that he didn't. So while I knew he was guilty, I still stood in front of him because he's mine. It's my son. He wrong his two left shoes. But he's mine. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't that how God does us? Some of us ain't wrong as two left shoes. You're never going to really. But isn't it good to know that you got the gift of eternal life and God does you like, he stands in front of you like that? And when you stand before Christ, his son is there. Those are lessons I learned from Demas. While I might be upset with him, I do hope I see him. Because again, the text doesn't tell us he, you know, there's no indication that he wasn't a believer. But I certainly want to see him, because if I can see him and he walked with Paul, I hadn't even seen Jesus. I'm looking at a black and white book trying to figure this stuff out and confuse most of the nights. And I'm looking at a black and white book with pages written thousands of years ago. And I'm having to look at this book and say, man, I believe this stuff. What does that encouragement, does that give you? as disciples of Christ, as pastors and preachers here, what encouragement does that provide for you? Because we don't always get it right. But I'm glad to know that because I have the gift of eternal life, man, I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side. That's all I have. Thank you all so much for your time, for obliging me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, questions?
There's a few short
questions. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sweet. I'll die.
I forgot. I preach. I forget. They don't ask questions in our church on Sunday, so. But go ahead. I'm fine.
You're stuck now.
Okay, so I'm dealing with
right. Yeah, well, I think one of the things I noticed in just reading Life of Paul and contrasting this with Demas is, man, if you would think Paul was authentic in front of them. You know, I don't think Paul hid who he was. So that's one thing that has encouraged me in discipling. Just be who you are. You know, be who you are and always live the life that they need to see. I believe Paul did that. There's one thing that was, there's no guarantee that the person, the people you're discipling are going to just take it up and run with it. There's no guarantee. But the guarantee is that, you know, if you, which I believe all of us do, make a great effort at explaining them, you know, what the message of life is, that knowing that they have that is comforting. It's comforting. Seeing them wallow or live a certain particular way can be disheartening. I mean, I'm a pastor, y'all. I have a pastor's heart. That's just it's, you know, I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but it's disheartening for me. You know, I get it, but that Dick, we John, I tell you, I wrestle with that. I do. I wrestle with knowing what I'm saying to people, how it's affecting them eternally, and then or the impact it's having. And then when you see certain decisions or their life go awry, it hurts you. I mean, it impacts you. Yeah, I mean, at least it does for me. I don't know. It does for me. It really does. So I would encourage you, just keep doing what you're doing. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Because remember, Paul did have Timothy. See what I'm saying? He did have somebody he could rely on. He did have somebody and some others. He had Onesimus. He had Tychicus. He had a list of them. Epaphras, Timothy. He had a list of men that he could count on. While some didn't seem to make the cut, so to speak. And I'm not talking about eternal life. But I'm just saying didn't seem to hang on too long. He did have those. So I hope that answers your question some. So yes, sir.
This proves he was an unbeliever.
Yeah, I read something like that.
That's theology, not the Bible.
Right.
And
the text doesn't.
I've been encouraged by it because yeah. Paul talking about him as a brother who has
right. Exactly.
He's
yeah.
There. He's got eternal life.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
As one who has gone to the bottom and into the pit myself, mm-hmm. It was so encouraging to know that there's a way out of it.
Right. Exactly.
The sad thing was that many of the people in the church where I was when I got in trouble
yes, sir.
Used that as an excuse to say that I wasn't saved.
Right.
In the first place.
And that don't mean that. Right. Yeah.
And we're too quick to make that judgment.
I believe so.
And I'm not a pastor, but I have a heart for people's
right.
Troubles and everything.
Right.
I think this is a I read love in that verse.
Right.
Paul loves Demas as he writes it.
Right.
He's grieving.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Thessalonica. One of the highlights.
You had a comment, John?
Yeah. This is the end
of this because we're
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is the end of Paul's
life.
Involvement with demons. But John Mark is someone that Paul had no optimism about. At one point, he had both Paul and Peter call him
useful. Yeah, that's true. We'll find out when we get.
Can I just, real briefly, it's interesting. I have never noticed that in the very next verse, it says Luke is with them. Bring Mark.
Right.
So it's almost like this sandwich effect, where it's okay. You can be a demon. Maybe you're a demon. Maybe you're following.
Right.
Maybe you're a Luke. You're being faithful.
Right.
Or maybe you're a Mark who's being brought back into this reconciliation.
Man. Yeah. That is good. That is good. Right. Right. That's true. I know. Yeah, I was thinking about that too when I saw everybody he had with him. Yeah. That's good. Well, thank you for fixing the computer. I appreciate it. Yeah, but thank y'all so much for obliging. I appreciate it.